the word day in three different ways in the very first chapter, the 12 hours, 24 hours, and the whole period in which he made the heavens and the earth. So we take it seriously, but not necessarily literally. Now, when you raise the question of the flood, there are a whole nest of questions here. The word translated earth is elsewhere translated land and can mean a limited area. Many evangelicals believe in a literal, local flood. Others believe, like Henley Morris and his group, in a global flood. There is no geological evidence for that whatever, but there are traditions in every part of the world of such an event. If you ask me my specific understandings of any of the historical passages of Genesis, I would say to you, you're beginning at the wrong end. When I read the Genesis story about Noah, I see a man whose family is saved because of his own personal righteousness. And I learn about Jesus. I am saved because of his righteousness. I see the ark that bears the brunt of the storm, and I think of Jesus, my ark, who bore the brunt of the storm on Calvary. I see the one door for them to go in, and I know there's only one way of salvation, it's Jesus. So I can only summarise a short answer by saying, I take the Noah story very seriously, but not necessarily literally in the way the Henry Morris group does.
Thank you. Now, more people keep standing up. Please don't have any more people standing up because we're running out of time. You're next, sir.
I'd like to ask...
No, this one here. I've taken people strictly in order as they stood up. You're next, sir.
I'd like to ask Dr. Desmond Ford what he believes is the state of the righteous and unrighteous dead immediately after death, and does he believe in imputed righteousness and imputed depravity, or how does he view the state of the people after they've died?
I believe in the doctrine of depravity, which means not that we are all as bad could be, but that all of us are weak and perverted in every area of the being, and therefore we need the restoring power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in depravity, therefore the need of the gospel. Your other question, which was first, was...
What is the state after death of the wicked and the righteous?
The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. 50 times it used the expression sleep. We have to take several things into account. The Bible talks about a second advent. In 1 Thessalonians it says that when he comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead. They come up, not down. There's only one passage in the Bible that seems to support what the medieval ages taught on this topic, and which was rejected, that interpretation, by Tyndale, Luther, and a vast array of modern evangelical scholars. And I'm talking about Luke 16, which again we should take seriously, but not literally. So, the essence again is 1 John 5:11 and 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you die without Christ, you're gone. You will sleep forever.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
This lady over here.
Hi, I've got a bit of a question for Desmond Ford. The man down the front asked a question, if God really exists, then why can't we see him, hear him, or feel him? I just felt that you maybe could have answered that a little bit more comprehensively, and are you able to do that now?
Yes, certainly. For God to appear so we could see him would frustrate our free will immediately. We'd no longer be free. We would serve him out of fear. That's the basic reason. Secondly, if you can't look on a creature he's made, the S-U-N, why should you expect to look on the creator of that creature?
That doesn't really follow. We can look on the moon.
But you can't look on the sun.
So what do you draw from that? Some things that,
can't look on a creature, why must you demand to be able to look on the creator who has so much more glory?
Better evidence. For evidence.
No, common sense.
Thank you.
If the house is falling down,
we'll have this gentleman down the front, and then we're going to finish up with these two next questions. Okay, this gentleman here, and then just two more questions.
This one's addressed to Brian. Brian, are you aware of incorruptibles? The people have been dead for ages, and their bodies have been perfectly intact for centuries.
Mummified corpses?
No. I'm talking about like some of the saints and that. Have been incorruptible by the preservation of God.
Not aware of any evidence.
Yeah.
It would be easy to provide evidence if you had it, I suppose.
Yeah. Saint Bernadette? Yeah. Right. Saint Bernadette and a few others that doesn't come to mind. And also miracles on the Eucharist that are documented by the Church, who's the biggest critic who looks into these things.
The great shame is that all the miracles are documented, but they're not doing any right now for CNN to show the rest of the world. Why was it good enough for the ancients and not good enough for us? We can get the word out so much better now. What I'm saying is, let's see some evidence. We hear a lot of talk, and what we get is evidence of people's gullibility.
Thank you, thank you. That was Brian's answer to the question. Yes, sir? And then you'll be the last.
I won't make a speech. Thanks very much, everyone, for setting this up. Brian, my question's to you. I've listened to you for 21 years. It's a very good show, but I think I know why now. You're good at hypnosis.
No. Thank you. What did he say?
He's good at hypnosis.
That was a sore blow.
When I count to three, you all wake up. One, two, three.
No, I appreciate your show, Brian. I hope you're there for a lot longer yet.
Thank you very much.
You explained your experience about the oncoming car on the harbour bridge and the bull, I think it was, over the crest of the hill. I don't mean to be unfair here, but I do care for your future. I'm a believer. Can you explain, and I'm introducing a fact which wasn't discussed in the debate today, can you explain the phenomenal experience your wife had overseas that you talked about on the program in regards to the ghost?
My wife didn't believe in ghosts. She went to the funeral of her father a couple of years ago, and she'd been introduced to everybody at the funeral. He was a major in the British Army and finally succumbed to the war wounds, and there was a minister in purple robes standing under the tree off to one side with the silver hair, who is quite elderly, and she hadn't been introduced. And she thought, that's funny, I thought I'd met everybody here. And she went, looked back, and then she looked back to the tree, and he disappeared. So she asked her mother, she said there was a guy there with purple robes and long white hair, etc., described him, and her mum didn't know who it was, so she said, well, I'll ask around. And it turned out to be a military chaplain who attends all the military funerals. But he died about 5 years before. My wife didn't believe in ghosts until then.
Thank you. That's the answer. There was a lady standing here. Unfortunately, there's a grabby, burly cameraman in my way, and I didn't see you, madam.
That's okay. Actually, it has been touched on. The gentleman over there, I wanted to ask Mr. Wilson, would something like this help to shake his attitude? If you stood by the bedside of a dying child, and you spoke on prayer, but that wasn't the same thing. And this child lived against all odds. Now, I've been president twice in such situations. One was my own child, and another one was with a group of Muslim people. I was in a hospital visiting my husband, who wasn't well, and a child had been hit by a car. And there was absolutely no chance of survival of this child. She was about 5 years of age, and she was bleeding from the ear, and they didn't expect her to last more than a few hours. Well, I went in and I said, may I join you in prayer? And we, all of us, just put our hands. Well, that child survived. Would something like that help to jog your memory? Because it's not mind concentration. We asked God to please, if it was his will, because perhaps he wanted the child to go on to high things. Would that help you jog a little bit? It's okay. Not the product of a mind.
Thank you.
Well, it's evidence.
That's the question.
It's evidence that some humans who felt very strongly got the desired result. And as I said, mysteriously, there is evidence that prayer does work. But whether it is any more than thought transference, I can't tell from that. That doesn't prove whether there is one God or hundreds of gods, or whether the Muslims have the right God and ours is number two, or so on. It's evidence that there's a lot out there we haven't yet explained. And could I just say that when I was young, it was a deterministic universe. It was a great big game of billiards. If you knew everything, you could deduce what went before and you could work out what was going to happen next. Now, thanks to Paul Davies and company, we know the universe has to be described in 10 dimensions with pieces of string, the ends of which are wobbling at the speed of light. It starts to get very hairy when you get down into the very small bits. But unfortunately, everything gets rather unpredictable when you get down to the small bits. So the universe of the scientists is no longer the easy to visualize one that it was when I was young.
Thank you. And last question.
My question is for Brian.
I'd like to thank both speakers for stimulating our minds and souls and getting us to think far more logically and deeply about these great issues. My question for Brian is that a few years ago, his very popular and successful radio show on 2GB was temporarily threatened with being taken off air at the instigation of the then Labor Foreign Affairs Minister, Gareth Evans. And I was just wondering if Brian would like to tell us briefly about what he went through at that time. I believe there were threats to investigate him from the Taxation Department and various
hassles. Not the tax, no, simply a Senate investigation of my appalling program.
My question was simply, did the suffering or these threats or persecution in any way cause him to wish to have faith or a belief in God, or did any of this these attempts cause him to think whether there was a Lord Jesus or God that he could pray to?
Thank you for your question. Brian.
Not really, no. The more I saw of Gareth Evans, the more likely it became that there was a devil, I thought. And what he said didn't scare me. I turned up the wick and I hit it twice as hard from then on because I wanted them to investigate me. I had a few things to tell them. But they were just trying to chicken the management, and luckily it didn't work.
Well, let me just say to you, I've been chairman of 2GB and 2CH for the last, I don't know how many years now, about 11 or 12 years, and I can assure you, as long as I'm chairman, I'll be very happy to have Brian among our broadcast.
Thank you.
Would you thank him and Dr. Ford together?
Thank you.
Please fill in one of the forms if you want a tape. If you'd like to have another one of these great debates on another issue, and you've got the issue that you think people would be interested in, write it down on a bit of paper and give it to me, will you? And we'll see what happens. Don't forget the bookshops and visit the kiosk. And as Brian says, God bless you.